Today is Sunday. And what? We want to have a message from God. Hallelujah. Want to hear from you, God? I know you're hearing from him every day, aren't you? I hope you are. And not just waiting to come to a Sunday and saying, well, I'll just wait and catch up with what you got for me, God, on Sunday when the pastor shares something, you know. Be in touch with him Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Let him just talk and minister and be with you, surrounded by his glory, amen? Because you're going to need to be surrounded by his glory day in and day out. If you don't, you will be dried up. You will be shriveled. You will be down. You will be like this. But surrounded by his glory. So today I want to look at and just see about this. And I would call it this. Are you full? Are you full? I usually get pretty full way back in the days when I went to a buffet, huh? I mean, I actually got more full than I really needed to be full. But I was going to get my $9.99 special, you know, whatever it took. In life, we look at so many things of being full, full up, fill that, do this, do that. But are you full? Are we full? Is God's church full? And I'm speaking and not just looking out here at empty seats and saying, well, I can see right now we're not full in the natural things. But with God, there's much more specific. There's a much more important thing to be full of. And that is of that of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God within you. For a child of God, when we received Jesus as our Lord, God gives us this gift of the Holy Spirit. And what I want to look at and bring together here a little bit today is that the measure that God poured out or put within that of his Son. It talks about in the word of measureless or without measure. That should tell us and give us a hint that it's full. He doesn't measure it out and say, well, okay, Bill, you're going to get a half of this. Sally, you're going to get three quarters. John, you're going to get a quarter. Whatever. The things with that of God that God has for you is it's all. Amen? It's all. When you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, did he forgive you of just some of your sins? A portion of your sins at that time? Or did he forgive you of what? All of your sins up to that point in time when you came to Christ. And so with that of God, and sometimes in the past we've been sharing, and even last week my message about, you know, I don't know what the title is, are you all in or something like that? Are you willing type of a thing? Are you willing? I don't know. It's just these things of when God has come upon us, he's given us everything. And if God has given us everything, why can't we give him our what? Everything. To find a true relationship of that with God, it's like he fully puts it in. He just automatically does it. He's not saying, I'm going to just see, Tim, how I can trust you or just what you do with what I've got right now. And this is all I'm going to do. And I'll top you off later on once I see some of your fruits and things like that. Now, he gives us all of the time that he has for us. But I think it's our responsibility to begin to work through those things and mature and marinate and do all these things that God has for us by that of reading his scriptures of his word to tell us how to perfect ourselves, how to mature ourselves. And it's all there for everybody. Amen. There's no level of people of economic, and we've talked about this before, social, whatever, generation, country, whatever. It's fullness of everything for everybody. I've been reading this book a friend has given to me. In it, it was written, I think, back in 1967. I got a date on it. And it's called Sons of God Awake. Sons of God Awake. And it was an old AG pastor way back then. And from my remembrance of what it was all about is he got a little radical even for them back then. And guess what they told them to do, Dan? I think they had told him, you need to go out. This is not where we're focused on, or this is not. And AGs are great, and I think they've come around much more in the current ages of things. Well, that of the spirit. And this is what this guy is speaking of being awake. And so in this book, there's areas of the unlimited anointing, finances without limit. We look at transportation unlimited. We look at unlimited authority. All nature obeys. And so early in the very first few pages of this, I began to read, and it was very interesting. And he's going about talking about things of without limitations. As a child of God, we've got to understand here again that when I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I want to serve him and serve the kingdom of God, put within me is no limits. When I'm in his kingdom, serving him, doing what he has asked me to do, go where he has asked me to go, all of it happens a lot of times to where we say this, what? I'm not capable. I'm not knowledgeable. I don't have experience. I don't. We like to talk ourselves down. And then probably in the natural, it's true. I don't have that ability. I don't have that teaching. I don't have that knowledge. But it's whose knowledge in me that as we've grown with that of God, of beginning to do what? It talks about renewing our mind. It talks about what? Having the mind of Christ. It talks about doing all of these things and what Christ did, Jesus did, for a very short time. He rocked the world. And do you believe that? Do you agree with that? My goodness, you know. So without limitations. And then it talks about the unlimited knowledge, unlimited vision. See, this is all at our disposal. And when this guy's writing this, he was getting a little back in the 60s and all that, I guess, and late 50s. It was getting kind of like, you know, some of the denominational things like, hey, wait, you know. You're getting into areas that we maybe don't want to get into, maybe we don't understand. And man has a way of doing this, don't you think? When man doesn't understand something and it kind of makes them uncomfortable, what does man do? Set it aside. We don't understand that. That's a little way out there. We don't quite grasp that. Put it over here. How many times in your life personally have you put God off to the side? Because he's asked you to do something that you thought, that's a little crazy right now. I don't think I can do that. I don't think this. I don't think that. I can't. And so we put God off to the side. And you've got to understand that when God comes to you and tells you, this is what I want you to do, you don't need to wonder how you're going to do it, because he's going to give you what? The tools to do it. I think many times we ought to be already aware of, you've already got them in you. You've got the tools in you, amen? With that of what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And so this is just basically right now taken out of a part here to where I've looked at for the unlimited anointing. And so that struck me as I read each one of these areas of the unlimited and things like that. It hits you, man. It hits your spirit. So today I want to look at that a little bit. So for a child of God, when we have received Jesus as our Savior, God has given us the gifts or the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then we begin to find what those gifts are. We go through and find out, you know, there's all kinds of giftings and things that we could have. But the thing is, the first thing that we got to have, and we do have, is that of the Holy Spirit. In John 3:34, it says this, "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God." For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, proclaiming the Father's message. For he who God has, and that's Jesus. God sent Jesus to what? Speak the words of the Heavenly Father. Proclaiming the Father's message is what the Amplified would say. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. This is what I'm reading in New King James. God does not give the Spirit by measure. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. So when I read that in this book, in this week, thinking about a message for today, I could look at it here in the Amplified. I would say, for God gives the gift of the Spirit without measure, which means this, generously and boundlessly. And we're going to get into that area of that in the area of the word of fullness. But I want to look real quick, if I were to go back, and here's the thing, because what Jesus had, okay, because we're going to get to the end of this to find out what Jesus had, what did he do? I give to you to go proclaim and to do. So in John 1:33, John is sharing this, what had taken place when he baptized Jesus. And in 1:33, it talks about in 30, it talks here, let me just go back to John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Talking to the people around him at the time when he was there baptizing and things. And it says this, and John, verse 32, and John bore witness, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like that of a dove, and he remained upon him." Verse 33, "I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the," what? "Holy Spirit." See, Jesus, he baptizes with the Holy Spirit. We get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When we have a relationship, when we come to Christ, we have that Spirit has put within us. The Holy Spirit comes. And then there's talking about praying for receiving of the Holy Spirit and activate it within our lives. But initially, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I'm going to tell you, something came within me that was more than just the words of God. There was something that came within me personally, in me, that began to make me hunger, that began to make me excited. Now, there's sometimes you can read words on a Bible or in a page in a book, and generally, they don't excite you, right? It's just a story. It's just a word. It's just a sentence. But with that combination of receiving Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I understand my sins have been forgiven at that point in time. They have been washed from me, cleansed from me, gone. And when that happened, and I said, "Lord, come into my life and become the Lord of my life. My sins have been forgiven. Jesus is my Lord and Savior." In God the Father, just like that of Jesus, he sends the Spirit of the Holy Spirit comes at that time as well to begin to help us to begin to grow in these things and to lead us into what? Truth. Now, there are times when we have services and they say, you know, "Do you need the Holy Spirit? Let's pray," you know. And we're talking about the offices of the Holy Spirit and the things that are moving within your life. But I believe initially when that happens to me, there was something that hit me in my spirit. My spirit became enlightened because of receiving Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit came in, and all of a sudden I began to hear from God. A new way, the first way, you know, at times really. But it tells us in 1:33 that of him and remaining on him, thus is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So here we go. He's baptized. Jesus will baptize us with the Holy Spirit. We find for in John 3:34, "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, proclaiming the Father's own message. For God does not give us the Spirit by measure," or the gift of the Spirit without measure, which means generously and bountifully. My goodness. We have that at our very foundational abilities of what we've got. But if a church doesn't speak of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit and the purpose of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is for today, we find that we've got a lot of what? Dry churches. We have a lot of dry people out there that, knowledgeable, and I can tell you theologically about this and that and what happened and all the stories in the Old Testament and all that, and they're great and they're powerful and God was mighty back then. And guess what? God is still mighty today. He's doing the same things today in our lives because of the power that he has. And we've got to come to an understanding and realization. We find that Jesus received the Spirit in fullness. Nothing was held back. God's Spirit was upon Jesus without measure or limit. Go to John. I'm going to go to John 1:14. As you're turning there, remember this now. The word fullness is very important for you to hear today and for your spirit to capture this, because you're full of it. I hope. in a good way. You know, the world will say a lot of things about, you know what, you're just full of it. The world's connotations about you're full of it is totally different than what the kingdom of God, I would say, when I say you're full of it. Hallelujah. I know you probably want to shout glory hallelujah for that. So in John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have what? All received, and grace for grace. Verse 16, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Now, if I were to look at that word fullness, definition of what this is really meaning of fullness is this: a full number, a full complement, full measure, plentitude. The word describes a ship with full cargo and crew. It would also describe that what? A town with no empty houses. Fullness. The word strongly emphasizes the fullness and completion. Now we realize in some of that area of common understanding and the natural of things of a complement and of that nature, a full complement. Whenever someone is going out to deal with the bad guys, and if you're going into a war theater or something like that, you generally want to have a full complement of resources. Full complement is this. You got the land, the sea, you know, the air, everything has got their strength there. For when you take on the enemy, you're having a full complement of able resources to fight this battle. Being filled and full of the Holy Spirit, you've got everything you need to battle that battle that's right before your nose today. Do you believe that? You've got the ammunition, the munitions, you got the strength, you've got the numbers, because if it's not you able to handle it, let God just call down angels to come and help you, like that in the Old Testament, to battle in the hills. You may not see him, or you may see him, but I'm going to tell you, the one person that's going to see it is going to be your enemy. Your adversary is going to see those angels camped around you, and they're going to go the other way. With the fullness of the Spirit of God in us, we have a full complement of the resources of the kingdom. Do you know what that means? You're victorious. No battle is going to take you down. You might have a battle, but a battle is not going to define, you know, the outcome. A battle is a battle in the midst of getting the victory over everything else. And battles come and battles go, right? Battles come and battles go. We're going to have it until we get called home or until Jesus comes back. We're going to have battles. Battles, what is that? Struggles? I don't know, whatever you want to call your battle. Whatever it is, it's you. You pick what you want to say my battle is. But I'm here to tell you today, if you're a child of God and you got the fullness of him, you got the full complement of that, of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom resources of God at your beck and call, you are a powerful force. Hallelujah. So do you realize that you, me, we have the same fullness that Jesus had? I hope the churches are preaching this. I hope the churches are sharing this, because I just don't know if we all are doing that. And I'm going to say we've got to do more here at Harvesters Church to preach this more, to speak this more, to bring it forth more. Because if we're going to have victory in this day and age that we live in, you have got to realize you've got the ability already within you to go to battle, to do battle. If that's what the devil's coming against you, you tell the devil to get out of your way. Remain strong. Although it may look bleak, remain strong. It feels like you're gone down for the third, the fourth, the fifth time, but you remain strong. I'm going to tell you, you remain strong as long as you've got breath in your lungs. Because breath in your lungs means you can shout with a praise. You can shout, God, help me. Shout. the victory. We have the same fullness that Jesus had. We can do it so much more than we think we can, or that we're able to. We hear so many people in our churches that are just whipped, beaten down. They're defeated. The kingdom of God does not have defeat. Amen? There's a battle, okay. There's battles. But we're not defeated. We're built up. We're strong. We've got resources. We got the Holy Spirit. We got that ability praying in that of heavenly language that just releases an arsenal of I don't know what from the heavens into that situation. And I don't really need to know what I just released into that situation, because it talks about in the Word of God that when I speak or preach or praise in the heavenly, or pray in that heavenly language, that it's praying that the divine will of God into a situation. God is not wanting you to be destroyed. And you know what? If by something happens and you are destroyed here, you're not destroyed. You got victory because you're going to go to heaven. You got eternity there with a healed body. And I'm not saying that's where I'm looking for going and I want to go there tomorrow, and if I get a pain or a sore or whatever, that it's like, oh, just take me home. Maybe that's what it is. But Lord, I just want to trust you to be what you need to be in my life at the time I need it, whatever it is. And Lord, I do. I lay it up before you. If it's time for me to be called home, call me home. But if I've got stuff to do here, leave me here, and I pray, Lord, for strength and healing and vitality and rejuvenation, whatever the case is, to be a power dynamo for you in the kingdom of God here upon this earth. We all go through things, some more than others. But are you full? Are you full? Enough wimping out and thinking of ourselves as weak and feeble. Rise up, it says here, I put down. Rise up in the power that you have. It is at your disposal to make a difference in your today and in your tomorrows. From the day of Pentecost, we have had this power at our disposal. What happened at Pentecost? The Spirit fell. It fell upon them in that upper room. Jesus says, do not go out until you have the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, you have got the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you agree? Amen? If you're a child of God, Spirit in you, you've got that fullness in you. It's not like I've got to pray, Lord, make it, fill me up. Well, we always feel for refreshing and renewing and, you know, refilling to keep us going, because we pour out, we got to take in. We pour out, we got to take in. So it's not a one-time thing and some of that filling of that, but we do have that ability and that strength within us, and the Holy Spirit is within us in the fullness that God put in you. Now it's up to you to know that, and it's up to you to pull upon that to be able to react to whatever's taking place in our lives around here, in the church, in our own personal lives. Realize how many times at times I'm out here and I'm just praying in the Spirit and praying for the church of what God wants to be accomplished at Harvester's Church upon this kingdom property. I stand and I keep proclaiming, I keep praying, I keep asking, I keep believing. Were there times that you said, hey, let's just close up and sell it? Yes. If that's what it took, it's like, okay, Lord, whatever you want, if that's the case, open up an opportunity to figure out how we can do this to close it down. Whatever you want, Lord. But it hasn't come along. He keeps bringing in resources for finances. Oh, I just don't understand that. Bring in kids to revitalize us in youth. You know, that is God saying to these things, you pray and you understand and you see the natural and you see these things happening, that's okay, and that's not denying it. By faith, okay, we walk by faith, not by sight. But faith isn't this to the point of well, I'm denying it. I can't stand before you and say, praise God for these 300 people that are here this morning. God bless you. I see emptiness. I see size down. I see this. I see that. Less and less. This. You know, it's been 15 years this July that I've been the senior pastor, or the pastor, the lead pastor, the only pastor. I get with pastor's groups, you know, and they talk about, well, I'm the lead pastor. I'm the senior pastor. I'm this pastor. I'm that. And I go, yeah, me too. I'm the lead. I'm the whatever you want to call it in terminology. You know, it used to be said, oh, the senior pastor. Well, that got to be kind of like, eh. Now we went to big churches. Now they call, I'm the lead pastor. Okay. You know, I'm just a pastor. Just happens to be what God has called us to do. Happens to be one person at this point. But I come out and I pray and I believe and I see and I stand and I stand and I believe and I think, God, this is it. And God always shows himself into these situations. I will tell you over and over and over, many times back, many years back, when I would say, this is, nah, I don't understand this. Nobody's coming. A visitor comes. They never stayed, but they came. Even had that lady come. She's not been back yet. I don't know if I scared her away when I gave her Tenets of Faith. Because after I remember what she had come out of, one of our areas of our Tenets of Faith speaks of what? The Holy Spirit. She may have been taught back in those denominational churches about the Holy Spirit and like, you know, that was for back in the days of the old apostles and his disciples in Jesus' days. I don't know. She's not been back, but I keep praying. I keep saying, okay, Lord, she came. She took a, she owes us, man, because she took a gift bag. That's all I can say. She owes us at least one visit. And if I had her name, I'd call and say, hey, at least come one Sunday. I don't care if you come in for 10 minutes. Just come in and go out. No. But see how God works in these things? It's just the craziest things that I look at in God to say, this person comes in midweek and picks up a visitor's bag and just takes a tour of the church and says, I want to come. I'm going to put her name out on the sign because I do know she goes up and down the road two or three times a week. So I'm thinking about putting her name out there saying, hey, where are you at? If your name is this, we're looking for you. Oh, hallelujah. But I have fun with God because God, I believe he has fun with me, and I've just learned to have to laugh at it. But then I reflect back, and I think back, and I look around, and I see the God of today. I see the God of today, the God of yesterday, and what he's doing today, and the plans that he has, even that stretches past today into the tomorrows of Harvester's Church, and the growth, and the people coming, and the children, or whoever the case might be. It is all, guess what, up to who? Him. We do our thing of showing love, compassion, speak and invite, all of these things. Thank you, Lord. But we got to stop wimping out. We've got to stop thinking of ourselves as weak and feeble and, oh, we're just a church that's gone by the wayside, or even not just our church, but we hear that a lot of churches, just a major shift. I'm going to tell you, it's not just us little ones. I've talked to pastors in bigger churches and things like that. And they're just trying to figure this whole thing out with this last year and the whole streaming. And a lot of the streaming has built a lot of complacency rather than being full of complimented. They've got a lot of complacency to where I can just stay home and watch my church online. I don't have to get out and go and be a part of the body of Christ. I can just stay in my own room with two or three people, my wife, my husband, just me by myself. But they've lost the understanding of God says, do not forsake yourself assembling together. See, there's a togetherness that has to develop within a body of believers to come together to have unity of one. But there's no unity in that. You have to come to where we look at one another's eyeballs and say, how you doing? Well, let's pray. Let's build that relationship. The church is built on what? Relationships. The church, I know this much. My closeness with God is built on my relationship with Jesus Christ. And the more that I hear from God, it's built on that relationship that I have with what? The Holy Spirit. And as I look at the three in one, and as we have our conversations, as I read his word, as I ask what's this about, as I ask, how is this going to affect me? How is this going to be about this situation? How is that going to be pertaining to that? God tells us and speaks to us through his word or by that of the Spirit in us. And it's really his word that's in there, but it comes to us by that of the Spirit. And we read it in Scripture, and all of a sudden we go, wow, it's you, God. Why is that? Because we have to get back to what my question is of you today, this morning. Are you full of it? And I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit being an it. It's a person, okay? But are you full of him? So let's go on. This power is at your disposal to make a difference in your today's and for your tomorrow's. Now, just this morning as I reread this and I was thinking about this, the power is there at my disposal. So we're going to use the technology of today. Everybody knows what this is, right? A dumb phone. I mean a smartphone. It makes me look dumb. If you got a flip phone, I don't think it's the same thing. It's pretty well easy. You just answer it and hang up. But if I were to give each and every one of you who didn't have one of these a phone like this and says, here's a cell phone. You go, that's great, a cell phone, a phone. I remember a phone. You could call out and receive calls and make calls. Yeah, that's right. But I'm going to say this, but you've got more than that ability in this thing right here. And if I give this to you and all you do is just receive calls and take calls, receive calls and take calls, and I get back with you in 2 or 3 months or even a week or two later, and I say, hey, how do you like that phone, man? Do you like how it connects you to so many things? I don't know if that's good or not nowadays, okay? Okay, this is just all a story, okay? Do you like how it connects you to like sources out there for information and how to do stuff and videos? And you would go, really? I can do that with this thing? I thought I could just take and make calls on it. It's like, man, you're not using it to the fullest what? Potential. The Spirit of God is in you. And all maybe you're doing is using it to call up and call back God. That's good. I'm not saying nothing wrong with that. But are you going further and deeper in other things of God with that of the Holy Spirit? And there's things that we get into with God that get confusing to us. But I'm not saying that it's God that's confused. It's us. Because we haven't learned more from him. We haven't trusted more of him. Whatever the case might be. But anyway, this is like this. I can give you this resource, and if you want to just use it for one sole purpose that phones used to be designed for, to make a call in and a call out, that's great. But if you don't open it up to use it for everything else that it's in there, you're missing a lot. And that hit me this morning. Is like, Lord, how can I share? Like, it's great that we've got that fullness in us. But are we really using it to the benefit? Are we using the full complement of the Holy Spirit? And I would dare to say, myself included, I'm not using it to the fullness. I've left a lot of the Holy Spirit, so to speak, you would hear this in businesses and all that. I left a lot of the Holy Spirit on the table. I didn't use what was there to benefit myself, the church, the situation I'm in, whatever the case might be. So it's important that we get this understanding of whatever Jesus had, amen, guess what? We have. Now, as Jesus tells his disciples this, as my Father sent me, I send you. John 20:21. New King James, John 20:21. So Jesus says to them again, peace to you. And as the Father has sent me, I also send you, what? As my representative, is what the Amplified would say. We are representing someone. We are not representing ourselves. We're representing that of God. As God has put so much into Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and how he reconciled us back to him. Because why? God loves us so much that he wants us to come back. I have made a way to bring my people back if they freely choose this day who they will serve. So with all of that God has put, if there is not more of God in your life, I would dare say, look at yourself and try to figure that out. Why is there more of God in my life? Because God is not a stingy God. He's not holding a carrot out there saying, come on, Tim, come a little bit further, come a little bit further, okay. No. If there's not a fullness of God in your life and things are happening or things aren't happening or whatever the case, this is all an individual. You have got to check yourself out yourself. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it because you know why? I got enough to feel or to deal with just myself. Because I've got to look at all of these things on these parameters myself because I'm flesh and blood. I'm here, you know. And I just know that there's more of God in me that's available to me. And I've got to grasp a hold of that. And I've got to have a desire and a willingness to get past just making a phone call to him on a prayer to get into the nuts and bolts of the other things that he's got for me and the power and the strength and the love and the compassion and the peace and the whatever it is that I can have that fullness complement of these things to go through rough times in life. Rough times. It's all over. Everybody has got something in their life. They have lost someone. There's someone sick. There's someone whatever that is, you know, is like, oh, what more, what more, what more? And I'm so thankful that all that I hear and I love, it's like, keep sending me stuff. That's fine because I lift it up to him in prayer as well. You know, unity, oneness. We join together. Amen. But if I tell you what, if I didn't do that, I would probably be, you know, on the fifth floor of some hospital or some rubber room somewhere, you know. Because it's just after a while, what does it happen? It becomes too much. Too much. But as a child of God, I can take these things and I know that where does my help come from? Where does my support come from? Who has the answer? Who will give me the answer? Who will give me the direction? How will this happen? What will I do? What? God. By that of the Holy Spirit, because I know I've, Lord, your word says I have a fullness because you, what Jesus had from you, Jesus says, I give to you as my disciples. Whatever God passed on to his son did what to us? His disciples, his chosen, his followers, we have that same thing that he infused into us to be able to go and do what he's asked us to do. As the Father has sent me, Jesus says, I send you. You, Tim, are my representative. Don't we hear in the Bible, or read in the Bible, I guess? I guess you could hear in the Bible if you got an audio Bible. But if you read in the Bible, where it talks about ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors. We are representing the kingdom of God in this place. I'm excited for that. Are you? It's a challenge at times. It's not always easy. But I know that when I get weak and I can't handle anymore, who's there to help me? And who's there to take that load? Cast that load. Cast that load, guys. Cast it. Don't keep holding it. I'm going to tell you what, the sooner you realize that somebody put a load on you, you better cast it to him. Because you know why? Because chances are, you'll be some other day that week talking to somebody and they'll cast another load on you. It's like, okay, and where does that load come from? Well, I'm going to tell you, when people know that you're a prayer, and things of that nature, who do they call at your house? Anybody ever been called by people outside, family members? Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. A friend calls you. Hey, this is going on, and I know you pray, and could you just keep this before your prayers? And Yes, I will be honored. I am honored to take your need and carry that to who? My God. I'm not going to carry it for you, but I'll carry it to him by prayer and leave it upon my God to come into that situation that you've asked me about or told me about or what you need some help with. And I don't know how that help's going to come. But I'm going to pray and ask God that, Lord, this sister is going through so much, and I have, oh my goodness, I've prayed for some, over and over, you know. And I don't have the answer, but it doesn't keep me from what? Praying again, but also thanking him for the outcome and for the answer coming, Lord. And, you know, you believe and you hear these things and maybe a continued struggle, and we have to sit there and say, Lord, whatever is causing the interference, Lord, oh, hallelujah, Lord, I just bind it in the name of Jesus, Lord. I just, whatever the devil, whatever the enemy is trying to do in the spiritual heavenlies, Lord, God, I just ask you, Lord, to just bind that spirit and let your answer come through to this situation. We've got to remain strong. We've got to remain alert. We don't want to become wimpy. We don't want to come lackadaisical. We don't want to come feeble. Oh, Lord, I've tried to pray and this isn't working. Oh, Lord, I'm not a child. I'm not powerful. I'm not. The enemy is filling you full of lies and doubts so that he can just get you down further. You might still be a child of God. You're still going to go to heaven when you die. Praise God. But the devil has put so much on you and what you aren't or what you think you aren't. And if you say, I'm probably not as strong in the Lord as I should be, the devil hears that and goes, okay, you know you're not as strong in the Lord as you should be, Tim. He probably really can't use you much more than what he's got. Maybe just sit off to the side. Rest. You've got to remain strong. You've got to remain understanding of the fullness of the Spirit in you, a full measure. Plentitude, plentiful, fullness, completion. Now, let's go on real quick while you wrap this up. John 14:12. Most assuredly I say to you, John 14:12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, saying this as Savior, the works that I do, you will also do, and greater works than these he will do, or that you will do. Why? Because I go to my Father. Jesus goes, ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of God, right? Interceding for us, takes our intercessions. We plead that, Lord, through Jesus' name, and Jesus has these prayers. New Century Version says this, I tell you the truth, whoever believes in me will do the same things that I do, and those who believe will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Now, we got to figure that out. Man, I'm going to be stronger and better than Jesus? No. So looking at this, it's telling us that the promise given to the disciples of performing greater works is meaning that they will be greater in number and scope. It's not going to be in the value or the significance of what they do in answers to prayers or as they speak and pray and these greater works that we do. It's just because there's more of them and because the power of the Holy Spirit is going to be with them and that they're going to go out in multiple areas. We're going to cover this city. We're going to cover this land. We're going to cover this globe. And those things are going to take place. So it says, the promise is not that the disciples of Jesus will perform works that are greater in value or significance than his. Rather, they are greater in scope and number in these aspects, okay, or respects, I should say. Number one, because Jesus was crucified, his earthly ministry was limited only to just a few years. We realize that, right? About 3 years is when he really came into the full board of his fullness of his ministry, about 3 years. So he had a short time, but he did a powerful thing, amen? Everywhere he went, healings, raising the dead, answers to prayer, all of these things, opening eyes, opening ears. But he was crucified, so he only had a limited time of years. But after the resurrection and the Pentecost, his ministry was continued, and it continues to be multiplied through Spirit-empowered believers. Spirit-empowered believers. Now, we can go out and ask, now, let's take a poll out in the streets. Go in some churches. Are you a believer? Yes. Have you ever heard that? I'm a believer. I believe God. I believe Jesus died, rose on the third day, intercedes for me, or is there at the right hand of the Father? I believe that. I believe my sins are forgiven. I believe I have eternity in heaven when my time comes. What's the key word about being a believer? Spirit. Are you a Spirit-empowered believer? And that's where the power of the church of today and back then, but the church of today is going to find its power is in that of the Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in its individual members, and in the corporate body to be able to be the powerhouse that it is designed to be, where God has put his churches what? To be. He didn't put churches throughout the land and throughout the cities to be just a building, just to people get together, just to have coffee and go to service and take communion and give a tithe and go home and life is just life. He put these churches, I believe, this one, for all the years that it's been here, the ups and the downs and everything that we've gone through, but he's put it here for a plan and a purpose that he has. But it's got to be spirit. Spirit-empowered. You have got to be a Spirit-empowered child of God rather than just the old run-of-the-mill believer. Nothing wrong with a believer. Do you want the phone that has all the multitude of things in it, or do you want just the flip phone that you can just flip it open, hi, bye, call? Power there. I can get help, you know, if I have the right number to call. This is when we talk about it empowered by the Spirit. And that's where we start drawing the line. And it's nothing to say that you can't become a spirit. And actually, when they received Christ, they did. But they've not been taught. They've not come to the understanding of what? The fullness without measure. So what God puts in us, he doesn't just a little here. Because when you become a child of God, he says, I'm going to put everything I've got into you. Because you're going to be a dynamo out there where I send you. And to do and accomplish everything that I have for you to do, I'm going to be there with you, but I'm going to give you the power and the abilities to do it. The infusion of the Holy Spirit. We need it. I need it. You need it. The church needs it. Don't you agree? Because I want to tell you, if the churches of today don't get into this understanding of the unlimited abilities of the things of God and the Spirit, and we can talk about other things out of this little book that has in here the anointings and things of that nature and unlimited resources, it's all because God is an unlimited God. But we have had man and churches limit so much of God that we no longer understand churches to be powerhouses. They're just gathering places. And I don't want a place that just gathers people to go in willy-nilly, to be wimpy Christians, to be, oh, feeble. I'm looking for a powerhouse of a church of God, of that of where Christ is here. We have died, and or he's died, and we've received him as our Lord and Savior, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit coming into our services, in through that of music, in through, I don't care, if you get up and walk up that aisle right there in that ramp, that you get hit by who? The Holy Spirit. Because of something you've asked, something that you inquired, or just in wondering, or whatever the case is, I don't know. I don't know. I pray, Lord, these people that come on Sundays, just hit them with the power of your Spirit. I'm not going to coerce. I'm not going to finagle. I'm not going to mojo this and mojo that to make you feel good and ooh, get you all into it. I just know that is not needed. When the power and the fullness of the Spirit of God comes, and it touches, and it makes a difference. And the church that once was weak is now strong. The person that was now weak is now strong. And you've got that. And I guess the message and the tone of today is this. Realize this if you've learned nothing else today, but by what Jesus' scriptures have said, that God has put the fullness of the Holy Spirit in you, and you are full of everything that God would ever want you to have of him or from him, and now you need to find out what app you need to get into. How many apps of God are you using? Because that's what makes this thing here more powerful, because of all the apps. Ooh, you know what else you got to do in this? It helps you too if you update. Are you updating with God? Are you tapping into his source? You're full of the Holy Spirit. You're full of him. But are you updating? What is updating? Are you before him day in and day out? Are you just meditating with him? Is he taking things in and out of you? And he's renewing your mind. Is he readjusting some things in you? God, scan me. Scan me, God. Is there a problem in me somewhere that's created a little bit of separation between you and me? And it's not that you've separated yourself from me. I have separated myself from you. Oh, dear God, scan me to see what has affected me between you and me. And when that scan comes back, that of the Holy Spirit, and says, this is what has happened. Go to that next level of what the computer used to do, but does automatically defragment. We have gotten so much of ourselves so fragmented in the body of Christ that the Spirit of God cannot move through us because we have allowed so much of the world to become within us, or the teachings of some churches and some denominational things, that it's taken the power and the force of the Holy Spirit out of man to we're a fragmented piece of Christians. This is a message for another Sunday. It's 12 o'clock. We got to stop. God, scan me. Oh, Father, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for today's word. I pray, Lord, that something comes out of it, Lord, that touches each and every spirit, Lord, that has been under the sound of my voice. Lord, will realize and understand that fullness that they have already, that they have already. And we do pray at times, many times, Lord, to just refresh us, pour in more of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, in these days and times that we're in, as we pour out and as we are in ministry and as we pray and so many needs and so many things, Lord, we pray that we have to have a continuous filling and a topping off, Lord, of that of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Oh, as little children, it's all in your hands. Father, I pray that I find myself in your hands. Greater days, greater things are still yet to come. I ask you to go with us, Lord.